Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Q1 FY19 results conference call of Hero MotoCorp Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghunandan NL, Research Analyst from Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management of Hero MotoCorp and thank them for giving us this opportunity. We have with us the management team. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Umang Khurana, Head Investor Relations, to introduce the team and take the call forward. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Raghu. Thank you for hosting us. Good day, everyone. It's a pleasure to have you on the call to discuss Q1 FY19 results. From Hero, we have with us today Mr. Niranjan Gupta, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sanjay Bhan, our Head of Sales and After-Sales, and Mr. Surendra Chhabra, Vice President, Finance. I would today like to take a few moments to introduce Mr. Bhan. As you know, he has taken over as the Head of Sales and After-Sales, and he will be aggregating and leveraging our entire customer-facing businesses and services. A homegrown leader, Mr. Bhan is someone who's risen from within the ranks of our strong talent pipeline. He has excelled in various roles in sales and marketing over the past two and a half decades at Hero. He's also credited with setting up the rural vertical and heading marketing function before taking over as the Head of Parts Business. We will begin with our first comments from the CFO, Mr. Gupta, as usual, and then open the line for questions. Over to you, Mr. Gupta.
Thanks, Umang. Thanks, everyone, for attending this Q1 call. By now, you would have seen our results. Just to recap, the key highlights of the results are: first, on volumes, we've delivered the highest-ever quarterly volume of 2.1 million. We have gained market share in deluxe segment, where we're already number one, further strengthening our leadership position. On the revenue side, you would have seen reported revenue growth of 10.4%. If you adjust for Haridwar GST accounting, the underlying revenue growth is 14.9% against the volume growth of 13.6%. EBITDA margins for the quarter stand at 15.6%. This is despite significant increase in material cost. This reflects resilience of our portfolio, our pricing power, and dynamic spend management. Profit after tax, 909 crores. This has got impacted by increase in effective tax rate, which, as most of you know, Haridwar income tax benefits expired on 31st March, and that has led to increase in the effective tax rate. But the underlying EBITDA margin delivery remains strong. We have taken price increase in July to partially offset commodity costs. They're probably more expected in September, October. Sequentially, our two-wheeler average selling prices have gone up by 400 rupees. These are the key highlights from the results. Moving on, we continue to grow from strength to strength in motorcycle segment, building on the strong brands, extensive network, and products that win the customer. As you would be aware, we are launching Xtreme 200R and 125cc scooters in time to catch the festive season. This will help us build our premium portfolio and also help us play in the growing 125cc scooter segment. You would have also seen the electric scooter launched by Ather, where we have significant investments. The launch has been received with a lot of excitement, with pre-orders and feedback from test drives, which are far exceeding the expectations. We'll also continue to develop EV in parallel at HMCL CIG, which is progressing well. And you would have also seen that we are going to fund a bridge round to Ather, amounting to 130 crores for their future funding needs. Expanding global footprint with scale continues to be one of the key priorities for us. We have seen tremendous success in Bangladesh, where in a short period of time, we've reached almost 30% market share in retail. In fact, number one position in the last 2 months. We are working on building scale in rest of the market through multiple levers like light product, portfolio, distribution, network, etc. Coming back to domestic growth, we expect the industry growth momentum to continue backed by both short-term as well as long-term factors like rural infra, MSP increase which has happened, monsoon, under-penetration which still is there. All these factors augur well for the industry. And we as Hero are positioned well to capitalize on the growth through our portfolio and consistent strategy. With this, I open the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Participants are requested to limit their questions to two per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up. The first question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, wanted to check, you know, we've heard very aggressive comments from Bajaj Auto in particular regarding pricing, especially in the entry segment. So, there has been some increase in volumes in, you know, the segment in which CT100 operates. So just wanted your thoughts on whether Hero wants to compete in that segment. Look at it as a market share loss for you? And how do you plan to respond to that? What I'm trying to understand is this normal kind of competition that you have seen over the years, or do you see significantly higher competitive intensity at this point of time? That would be my first question. And secondly, I wanted to check on the average realizations per vehicle, both on a sequential basis as well as year-on-year basis, we have seen a decline. I understand there's an effect of Haridwar incentive, but even if I adjust for that, there seems to be a decline. So if you can help us understand these two.
So let me answer the second question first, which is the average realization per vehicle on sequential. So first of all, on an year-on-year basis, as you know, because of GST, the comparison does not make sense, nor it gives any underlying price increases that we are taking. If you look at on sequential basis, the revenue that you see is 8,564 crores as far as Q4 FY18 was concerned. And as far as Q1 is concerned, it is 8,810 crores. Now, if you look at the parts revenue for the current quarter is 602 crores and the last quarter was 746 crores. Year on year, of course, parts have grown by 23%. But Q4 is always a seasonal heavy high for everyone in the industry. So that was 746, which is 602. And the other operating revenue is 179 crores in the current quarter, and in Q4 was 277 crores. And that reduction is primarily on account of Haridwar, which is around 60-70 crores, and there are others which are more phasing issues. So if you take out these, then the underlying two-wheeler revenue, and if you divide them, then you will figure out that the net increase is at 400 rupees per vehicle. So that's the answer to your second question. As far as your first is concerned, whether we will compete in entry segment or not, there's absolutely no doubt. We have number one in the entry segment. The price is not that the price drops have happened now. The price differentials have remained for more than a year by now. In FY18, we have gained share to 60% versus 55% FY17. And that talks about the strength of each of the products which have a place as far as the marketplace is concerned. With this, I hand it over to Sanjay to further elaborate on the on your answer on the entry segment.
Yeah, thanks Kapil for the question. At the outset, I would like to state that, you know, we don't normally comment on what our competition is doing. For us, brand is very core, and brand building has been at the core of our strategy, which is why Brand Hero today enjoys immense trust, loyalty and equity in the market, as you know. We have a solid franchise both in entry and deluxe segments, backed by a strong dealership network. As any market expands, it is only natural for it to get segmented. That is the case for entry, deluxe, and the premium motorcycles, you know, basically coming into being. Each segment has its own differentiated product offering, and we have been very successful through this strategy in not only protecting our number one position, but also in gaining market share in deluxe and strong brands with such strong brands as Glamour and Passion.
Understood, sir. But what I'm trying to understand is the competitive intensity. You think it has increased significantly, or it is something that you have seen over the years?
We have seen this over there. As I said, the price differentials have existed. One or a couple of products which are at the lower range, but the other products remain at the higher range. So it's not the price differentials are new. And with these price differentials itself, we've been growing. Even our quarter one in entry has grown more than 20%. So we don't see this as a new thing that's coming. Probably there's one variant in the market which has come in new, but honestly, overall, in the overall portfolio, we've been growing well with all the price differentials where each product has a place compared to its features and price.
Okay, sir. Thanks. I'll follow up in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Jay Kale from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So my first question was regarding the kind of, you know, marketing spends or incentives that the industry is seeing. Do you think, say, in the last 1.5 years, there's a change in your or in the company's strategy of offering, you know, incentives, be it, say, from above the line to below the line, and maybe you have kind of rationalized your spends from marketing to more of discounts? So in effect, your marketing budgets remain the same and promotion budgets remain the same, but it's just that it is offered in a different form. Is that something that you have seen in the last 1.5 years?
Not really. If you see consistently, we've been spending behind advertisement and publicity around 2.5% of the revenue. We've been intense both on ATL and the BTL. And even if you look at media expenditure or discounts, of course, from quarter to quarter, these keep changing, depending on the seasonality, depending on the season, the festive, et cetera, et cetera. But there is no underlying change in the way that we actually invest behind the brands.
Okay, got it. And my second question was regarding your scooters and your premium motorcycles. Now, like the M1 segment is a weaker franchise for some other competitors. We have been trying to make inroads in the scooters and premium motorcycles. So just wanted to get your strategy on how you plan to make inroads over there. And in the premium motorcycle, is there a thought of maybe setting up a different kind of distribution network to, you know, change the brand perception in the minds of people? Is that a thought, say something like a Nexa?
So I'll hand over to Sanjay for taking over the scooter and premium part.
See, Jay, first of all, I'd like to answer the second part of your question, which is related to the network in terms of distribution. Do we have a plan to look at a separate set of dealers, et cetera, et cetera? I think the answer to that lies in the fact that, you know, our existing setup of dealers is perhaps extremely well entrenched. As you know, it is one of the biggest strengths that Hero has. Not only do we have you know, very wide network of dealers, we also have perhaps the strongest network of dealers in terms of their capability set, in terms of their influencing ability, and the power that they kind of exude in being able to convert, you know, customers and engage with them in a very meaningful way. So right now, we don't see a reason for us to depart from that. It's working out pretty much fine for us. Yes, of course, there are categories and areas, and we'll talk about that a little, you know, more a little later. But at this stage, what is important is that we need to look at the scooter situation that we are in and how can we, you know, aggressively move forward on that. And one of the key things is that we need to have greater participation in the overall scooter play area, which currently, you know, with the range that we have, we are, you know, playing in the 100cc 110 category, which, in, if you've noticed in the quarter one, hasn't had a major growth. And the opportunity that we do see, and which is also indicated by the numbers as they kind of pan out, is that the 125cc scooter seems to be on a growth trajectory, clearly indicating that the scooter consumers really want to evolve and upgrade. As things stand, this is our, you know, comprehensive lineup and plan. We are on the anvil, like Niranjan mentioned a short while ago. We are, you know, on the verge of closer to the season, launch our 125cc scooter, which is again going to help us participate in a very meaningful and constructive way in the scooter, you know, area. As a consequence, therefore, it will have a huge playback. And that's the reason that we are very confident as we go into the season that we'll have a very strong play in the area, which is probably growing the fastest.
Right. And just on your other expenses, if you can just explain why they would be down on a YOY basis and also your industry growth outlook for FY19.
Yeah. So on the other expense part of it, see, quarter to quarter, the spends vary because of phasing and because of also we have this dynamic spends management. So effectively, it's not a representative thing in terms of one quarter or the other quarter. It's just the first quarter. And that's why you see that in terms of absolute. In terms of percentages, of course, the operating leverage also plays part. As our volumes grow more than 7-8%, the operating leverage starts kicking in. And that helps as far as ratio is concerned. As far as the industry growth is concerned, we have earlier also guided double-digit growth for the industry. And all the factors which are there, you talk about the short-term factors, whether the MSP increase which has happened, whether the money in the hands of people through release of all the central and state commissions, whether it's the monsoon, which is a positive, and also the rural infra and all that which is kicking up. So essentially, we see this growth momentum for the industry to continue, and we do expect a double-digit growth moving forward for the industry as well.
Okay, great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Karthik Chellappa from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. My first question is, I know the 125cc scooter is something that you will be launching soon, and that's a wide space for you, which would arithmetically improve your share. But based on the existing products itself, what is your assessment of the reason why you have not been able to make much headway? Because it looks as if we tried various options, aggressive finance schemes, discounts, marketing, etc. But we have not been able to make much headway beyond the 12-13% share. So what is your assessment of the reason for the same?
So I'll start that and then hand over to Sanjay for this. Any action that you take on the product do not result in effect in one quarter, two quarter, or even 1 year. These things have to be built up, grounds up, and then slowly and gradually, which is what we have been doing. So you are right in a sense that it's been hovering around 13%, 14%, but it has even gone down to 12% from there. The trajectory has moved up. It's actually maintaining a steady market share as far as the 110cc is concerned. There are a lot of actions which have been put in place over the last 6 months. We also elaborated in the last call. And that momentum is continuing on ground. And therefore, some of these actions will start also gradually yielding results. Having said that, let me just hand it over to Sanjay for further insight on the current product and how we are going to make that actually happen.
So, Karthik, coming to the point on why we haven't done as well as we were expected, etc., I think... like Niranjan mentioned, there is, you know, at the core is the brand. And as a unit, from a marketing standpoint, as a strategy, we have to work around the various support systems for the brand. The scooter as a category was something that we came into much later than most of competition. So obviously, it's going to take time. So I would say that, you know, we still have the third largest selling brand in scooters, so it's not the way off. It's, like I said, once we start getting into a far larger participation within the scooter industry, things could change rapidly. We do expect and we do have a whole bunch of expectations and the strategy in place with the new 125 that we will be able to not just expand and participate better, but also expand the industry base. So I guess it will all fit in at the right time, at the right spot, you know. I'm sure you've seen the numbers. The 125cc scooter has actually had a windfall gain. It's growing at a staggering pace of 80% plus in the first quarter. So you can very well imagine, I think there is some amount of stranding, if I was to use that term, for the typical 100cc, 110cc customers seeking, you know, kind of an upgrade. And that's precisely where we're going to get into. So we do hope that in the coming times, things will obviously look very, very up.
Got it. Sir, my second question is, what was the number of units that Hero FinCorp financed this quarter, and what was that as a percentage of the overall units of Hero that were financed?
So Hero FinCorp financed 13% of the overall two-wheeler sales that we did. What was your other question?
I just want to know what was the absolute number of units that Hero FinCorp financed and what was that as a percentage of the overall two-wheelers of Hero that got financed?
2,73,000.
2,73,000. Okay. And it was 13% of overall two-wheeler sales?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Karthik.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghunandan NL from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and welcome to Mr. Sanjay Ban. Sir, can you please provide some trend on the rural and urban growth and by how much can rural growth outpace urban this year? And my second question was on Glamour volume has slightly dipped whereas competition Honda Shine has seen a growth. How do you see this trend changing ahead?
Right. So I'll let Sanjay answer that question on rural versus urban growth as to how much rural would be outpacing as far as urban is concerned. What we have seen so far is that rural has been outpacing urban by around 200 to 300 basis points. And we don't see that trend changing. So we would expect, therefore, a similar differential as far as rural versus urban is concerned moving forward as well. On the Glamour volume versus Shine, Sanjay, you want to take on the Glamour part of it?
Yeah, just as a you know input to what Niranjan just mentioned, I think the current situation is about 11% is what rural is growing and urban is growing at about 9%.
Which is 200 basis point difference.
Absolutely, exactly. And that's just to give the numbers. And on Glamour versus Shine, I think all of us know that Hero has conceptually always believed in a multi-brand strategy. We just don't have Glamour. We have Super Splendor as well in 125. So I guess we need to see them together. And really speaking, that's how, if you look at the 125cc play, we are outgrowing the industry and we are driving the growth there. Absolutely. So we look at it, you know, as a composite between the two players. You know, for the deluxe segment, you have the famous twins, Splendor and Passion, who as a you know tag team obviously have always stood by us. We have a tag team approach and a multi-brand approach in the 125cc as well and therefore are leading that way ahead. So like I said earlier as well, we don't wish to really comment competition and their strategies. Our strategy is very clear. We will have a multi-brand strategy in most of our categories and increasingly you'll see that in other categories and other spaces, even the white spaces right now. Going forward, you will see a multi-brand approach from Hero.
In fact, just to supplement what Sanjay is saying, our market share in the deluxe segment has moved up from 69.2%, which was the quarter one of last year, to actually 70.6%, which is quarter one of this year.
Absolutely.
So that further elaborates on the multi-brand and composite
Absolutely.
Strategy across each of the segments, entry, deluxe, etc.
Sir, the impact of Pantnagar tax benefit expiry, you said, was 60-70 crore. How do you see the ramp-up in Halol plant offsetting part of this in coming quarters?
Right. So as far as Halol is concerned, last year I think we did around 3 lakhs volume from Halol. This year we expect the Halol volumes to double and then moving forward to move from 6 lakhs to 9 lakhs when it comes to the next year onwards, right? So part of those will get offset through Halol. And then thereafter, Andhra comes in FY20, which is when the full neutralization happens. So partly I would say through Halol and then partly through Andhra. So FY19 and FY20 put together, then it offsets the Haridwar impact that you're seeing.
Just one last query. Is the price hike taken so far sufficient to cover commodity inflation? You alluded to more price hikes in September. So just can you give some thought on how much has of commodity part has been passed on and how much more needs to be passed? Thank you so much, sir.
So what you see in quarter one is our raw material cost. And if you do, you'll have to do some accounting and some math to take out parts, material cost, etc., etc. But underlying basis, our material cost is up by around 2.3%. That's what you see from the ratios. And effectively, the price increase from April that we took offset 1%. Yeah. So there's still 1.3 of which partly was again taken up in July and then part will be taken in September, October. As far as commodity is concerned, it had gone up sharply in Q1, which we had also mentioned earlier in the earlier calls. Quarter two, we see still some impact coming, but not as much as what you've seen in quarter one. And then thereafter, we expect the commodities to stabilize. So therefore, when we talk of the prospective price increases in future, that should make up for the effect increase that has happened so far.
Thank you, sir. That was very helpful.
Thank you, Raghu.
The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just clarifying on the raw material. So there is no, when we're looking at these numbers, this is just the full impact or other than, because I guess there's some deflation because of Haridwar also, right? So that's also boosting the commodity cost as a percentage of sales. And just related to that, do we have some other expenses which have gone out because of Haridwar or something on a sequential basis? Just trying to understand that sequentially on the cost side, what sort of impact would we have seen as a result of the Haridwar thing?
Yeah. So as far as material cost is concerned, if you look at it sequentially, then there is no depression impact because of Haridwar, because the GST accounting was changed from quarter two of last year itself, whereby the entire GST, which is there, was being netted off from the sales. So therefore, when you look at the ratios, there's no depressing impact as far as the ratios are concerned on sequential basis. As to your, what was your second question? Can you just repeat again?
Yeah, no, so just the second part was the other expenses. Is there any impact?
No, sequentially there is no impact as far as that is concerned, because Haridwar, the benefit that you were getting in the GST regime had got converted into accounting into the other operating revenue stream, and which is what I highlighted at the beginning of the call, that number has gone down in this quarter sequentially, which is the impact of Haridwar. The rest of the expenses do not.
Right. And just on the, through the annual report, like the Colombia has been making significant losses. So could you just highlight what's happening there, and also in terms of what is your overall expectation for exports for this year?
Right. So in any venture that you get in or any business that you set up, initial few years one would expect that you would not make profits. Yeah? Bangladesh has been an exceptional performance for us, which I mentioned at the beginning of the call, and that actually made the profits in the year one itself. But Colombia is following just like any other investment that you would do. We are building the brand there. We are building the market. We are building our scale there. And therefore, you see the losses. All the elements that are required to ramp it up are there and have been put in, and we will be gradually building in scale. And we do expect that gradually, as far as bottom line is concerned, that should improve. But honestly, that's not so much of a concern in Colombia, because you set up a factory, and as the volumes ramp up, the bottom line will improve anyway. It's more about building the top line and the scale, which we will build. Once it's achieved a certain scale, then profits will start coming. Overall global business has grown by 9 to 10% as far as quarter one is concerned. Bangladesh has been doing extremely well. We are gradually building the other markets. For the year, we would expect around double-digit growth for global business. And we're going to build up other markets like Sri Lanka, Nepal, Colombia, etc., learning from the Bangladesh market.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Just going back to the gross profit thing, if you look at gross profit per unit, it's almost a 14-quarter low, probably due to commodity cost. But we also thought that this quarter, scooter share would have been lower, so that could have been a positive. Going ahead, as scooters ramp up, how do you see the gross margins behaving? Will you be aggressive in the scooter in the 125cc launch? Will it be margin accretive or dilutive?
So first of all, let me answer the gross profit point of view. We don't actually drive the performance from GP point of view, drive from the EBITDA point of view. And as far as EBITDA is concerned, it is 15.6%, because all the lines of the spend, then we manage dynamically. Material is just one part of the line. And that is 15.6, which is again 16.2, down 60 basis points, and which is essentially what you have seen is material cost 200 basis points up, and the rest is managed through operating leverage and expense management. Now, and part of the price increase. So that's on the profitability part of it. On the scooters part of it, scooter currently is just 13 to 14% of our portfolio. And
correct.
Moving forward, when we put 125cc, which is intrinsically higher margin than the basic 110 entry segment scooter, so we actually don't see it having a meaningful impact either way, positive or negative, on our portfolio. The key is to actually build a scooter portfolio and participate in the segment, which is growing high. And of course, any growth then brings operating leverage, of course. But as I said, right now, it won't be meaningful on margins either way.
Right, right. And secondly, you know, like while you did allude to the fact that the competitive intensity wise, you don't see a change, but your competitor Bajaj, the statements were pretty strong in the sense they are targeting almost 800 basis points of market share with 400 basis points just in the next two quarters. So how willing will Hero be to give away market share on the motorcycle side? You know, like would you be okay to give 200-300 basis points of market share and not participate in some of the pricing action that they have started, whether it's free insurance given this month or, you know, some kind of price correction across models? How willing will you be to sort of give away 200-300 basis points of market share?
Right. So let me just try and answer it. Although we've answered at the start of the call itself, the price differentials have remained now for more than a year, right?
Correct.
In the entry
correct.
Segment that we are talking about. And
correct.
Over this 1 year where the pricing differentials have remained, so while we won't comment on any competition statement, but I'm just stating certain facts, with the price differentials
yeah.
remaining there over a year in the market, we've gained shares in the entry segment from 55 to 60%, FY18 versus FY17. Quarter one is one which you look at, which is at 58, 58.5%, and quarterly these shares can fluctuate. Then comes the deluxe segment, where we've actually increased our market share on the back of number one leadership position. So, honestly, the question of actually, and pricing is never a sustainable strategy to gain market share. Sanjay has already pointed out there are so many other elements that work in order to gain the heart of the customer and the market share. And our strategy is playing out well. And therefore, we don't see a loss of market share happening in the first place. So the question of actually trying to make it up by some action does not arise.
So in a way, you don't really see market share loss
no.
possibility scenario itself. So to an extent, you know, you can't really comment on that. Very clear. And lastly, what will be your tax rate guidance for the year?
So for the year, we don't give a tax rate guidance, but honestly, the quarter one includes the Haridwar effect, yeah, broadly. So it would broadly be in this range is what I could say. There would obviously be some plus minus happening based on the depreciation, based on the R&D expense, all that you know. So that could vary a bit. But broadly, as far as the key impact is concerned, that is factored into quarter one. Because that's a sequential change which has happened, which is the expiry of Haridwar fiscal benefits, which was known to the market already.
Great, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kumar Rakesh from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my question. And congratulations to Sanjay for the new responsibility. So my question was your portfolio, if you look at it, it's very concentrated in few CC segments currently. You have tried diversifying it through launch of new scooter products in 110cc. You also have talked about expanding into international markets, but we couldn't see major movement in those areas. So taking a couple of steps back in the more medium-term scenario, how do you see diversifying your portfolio beyond where you are currently concentrated, or you are happy with the kind of concentration which you currently have?
Right. So we have actually talked about this earlier as well. Yes, right now, as you see, the portfolio is concentrated. There are actions which are in place. Firstly, on the scooters, on the existing portfolio, we have talked about there are key actions which have gone into the ground, and gradually you will see improvement as far as moving forward is concerned. 125cc, Sanjay has talked about already, which will come into play, and that allows us play into the growing segment. And in fact, beyond that, what he alluded was that it will also have a positive rub-off impact on the current portfolio of the scooter.
On the premium, we've already announced the launch of Xtreme 200, which is coming in the festive season. And thereafter, more products will follow. As far as our focus is concerned, to your answer to your question, are you happy with concentration? Nobody would be. Are you taking action? Yes, we are. Will you see the result? Yes. And you will see the result in terms of the products which are coming to the ground. And the result of those products obviously will build up gradually. More and more resources are focused on scooter and on premium sector. The focus of our CIT is also building into a premium portfolio. And you will see more launches coming every year. Sanjay, you want to add anything more?
Yeah, I'll just add one little dimension to this whole piece. Well, when Niranjan was checking on whether we would want to be just concentrated versus more diversified, I think intuitively the answer is, of course, anybody would want to have a slightly more diversified portfolio. But look at the Philips side. The very fact that we are so, you know, concentrated has also put us in a very strong position that it's almost, you know, kind of a bastion which is almost impregnable for most people. It's an extremely massive strength area. The deal here is that, you know, the two segments that you perhaps are alluding to, which where we don't seem to be diversified as now, the growing segments within, you know, the industry, it's the scooters which is growing faster, so on, and within motorcycles, it is the premium segment which is growing at a faster pace. So perhaps your question is pointed to that. The answer is very simple. We've kind of answered earlier as well. I'm going to repeat myself. The answer is, yes, of course, in scooters, we are getting into the fastest growing category within scooters. And with the kind of lineup we have in place, I'm sure you'll be as excited as our customers with what we're going to offer to them. Insofar as the premium bikes is concerned, the Xtreme 200 is already is launched, is getting a national launch maybe very shortly, and we do hope to energize the portfolio. So really speaking, our portfolio is going to get massive leg up and strength over the next 2 to 3 months as it will kind of unravel itself, and you will see a far greater level and a deeper level of participation, which therefore gives us the leverage in the so-called not-so-participant segments also actively, you know, kind of paying back in terms of customer engagement for us. So I would see a pretty, pretty strong scenario building up for us as we get into it, perhaps speaking at the right time as you would call.
Thank you for that detailed answer, very useful. My next question was on the recently called strike by the transporters in India. Are you seeing any impact in moving around your inventory?
So far, no. Production has continued. In fact, we are also expediting things like air freighting some of the materials in order to continue. We are watching the situation very closely like every other industry player. And we'll have to just track it and see. We hope for a quick resolution, but so far no impact we've seen.
Okay, thank you. I'll fall back in the line.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Makaria from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Aditya.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to check on the braking regulations which I expected. Could you just give the timelines and any possible cost implication?
The CBS, ABS that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, ABS and CBS, yes.
Yeah. All right. So these actually come into operation from 1st of April 19 for the existing products. And they came into operation 1st of April this year for any new launches. So we are in a ready state for these. And all our new products are going to be compliant with these braking regulations. And the existing portfolio will migrate before the 1st of April. And our Xtreme 200R, which is getting nationally launched, is actually ABS compliant. And we've decided not to put in the other variant. So it's the ABS compliant variant that we'll be putting in. And all the existing portfolio will migrate well before 1st of April, which is the regulation deadline.
Sure. And just in terms of cost, how much higher would it be?
So as far as CBS is concerned, we had told earlier also, it's in a range of around 500 rupees per vehicle. Hmm. And as far as ABS is concerned, which is applied to the higher CC bikes, that would be in the range of close to around 4,000 per vehicle.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ruchit Mehta from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Ruchit Mehta,
can you go ahead?
Mutual Fund, please go ahead with your questions.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Just a question on your Aether investment. Are you the only investor in the CCD or are there others also in this? And when do these actually get converted?
So as far as the current bridge round is concerned, we are the only investor. So we've gone ahead and done the bridge round. Typically, bridge round happens with one investor. And thereafter, it will be followed with a Series C funding round, where also we will participate. And once the Series C funding round happens, that's when it will get converted.
So would you be open to taking your stake to a near majority level? I mean, you're only at about 32-33% level.
So while I won't comment on the majority part, but by virtue of the fact that this is a bridge round and we will also participate in the next funding round, obviously the shares will go up, because the holding will go up from where we are current. But that will all be dependent on the next round valuation and next round participation. But given that we are the only investor in the bridge round and we participate in the next round, the shareholding will go up from the current levels.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amin Pirani from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Actually, my first question is on, there has been some news that in West Bengal, which is around 5% of the industry market, there have been some new registration norms, especially for two-wheelers, which have actually led to a significant decline in retail volumes over the last 1 month. So my question is that, have you seen that in your dealership, and is there a delay in dispatches to that market for you, or I mean, or are things as usual and normal?
So yeah, I think this is absolutely relevant. In fact, West Bengal for now almost about 2 weeks has been struggling with that challenge. There's already work afoot. SIAM is involved in this, because obviously this the rule, I just to, for everybody's clarity, is about, you know, every two-wheeler customer needs to get a license, needs to have a valid driving license to be, you know, able to buy one. So which is what isn't consistent with the CMVR, and therefore you know, this has put a bit of a spanner. Retails have been a little slow. It's not impacted our dispatches yet, because our pipeline is obviously quite open, and it's not impacted dispatches as much, but retails of course have been extremely slow, because we are compliant, and yeah, so hopefully we do expect a resolution very soon on this. And okay, just the state of West Bengal, it's not you know, like you've mentioned, West Bengal as a state has a overall issue. Nowhere else is this problem there.
And just to go back to the, you know, issue of you know, the other expenses, we are seeing an absolute decline on an absolute basis. So is it just a shifting of cost from one quarter to another, you know, based on, you know, certain requirements, or is this the new, you know, run rate? I mean, is there a structural cost cutting or cost rationalization that has happened, and hence we should expect this to, you know, be the trend going forward?
Actually, on a one-quarter basis, you can't outline the whole trend. It does include part initiatives of cost management, but also has a saving thing involved. So we'll have to look on an annual basis, but we are very conscious of our spends management, and we keep doing that on dynamic basis. But you can't drive a conclusion based on one quarter.
Okay, and just lastly, the benefits that you get from Halol and will eventually get from AP, do they get accounted for in the revenue line itself, or is there some other line item where they would get accounted for?
So the way you see it gets accounted from the revenue from operations line itself.
Okay.
Within that, there's a sales revenue and other operating revenue, which you see typically when you see the balance sheet and the detailed classification. But from the published results, what you see, it's accounted in the revenue from operations line.
Okay. So the Halol benefits are already there in the published numbers on the revenue line.
To the extent of the current volume, the benefit will go up as the volumes ramp up.
Of course. Okay. Thanks for this. I'll come back in the queue for more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Continuing on the Salol plant benefit, can you indicate what kind of benefit did we get in FY18?
I won't quantify the amount, but basically the benefit that we get is the refund of the SGST for the local sales.
For the local sales. So that, even at 900,000 util level, it won't be offsetting totally the Haridwar loss, right?
No, 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 it won't be. That's what I said, that it's a combination of Halol and AP that will neutralize the Haridwar, this one, and not standalone, just Halol. Yeah?
Understood, understood. Now, second question pertains to scooterization. So if Mr. Bhan can add over here. In last few months, we have seen substantial slowdown on the scooter sales. What can you attribute this slowdown to, and is it sustainable? I mean, is it structural change, or how do you read that?
So on scooterization and Q1 slower growth, I will give it to Sanjay. But before that, on your Halol thing, you mentioned 900K. The 900K is not this year's number. Last year we did 300,000, and this year we'll ramp up to 600, and then thereafter it will get ramped up to 900. Just to for an added clarification. Sanjay, you can answer on the slower growth of scooter in quarter one and its respective trend that you see.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are various factors that you must look at. You know, intuitively, it does seem like scooters have had a rather four-ish quarter, but you must also see that in the larger perspective of what happened in quarter one last year. I think there was a huge opportunity for scooters owing to BS3 to BS4 conversion. You would recall that there was a whole bunch of stuff that happened on 31st of March, where the large players in scooters obviously had to offload a lot of stocks at special prices, may I say. And, you know, as a consequence, the pipeline got cleared up, and therefore there was a huge opportunity of stock build-up quarter one last year. So I would put a bit of caution there for all those who are imagining that perhaps scooters have slowed down. Although that really is in some sense interesting, but it really may not be the case. As we see currently, it could be a base effect, because last year first quarter was very high. This year, first quarter related to that is not looking so good. But what is important, I think that's where I would like to, I've already spoken about it earlier, but there's one specific trend in scooters that's something that I would like, you know, to mention here again for the benefit of everyone, Jinesh, is that within scooters, the growth is not happening in the 100, 110 cc. The entire growth virtually is being fueled by the 125 cc scooter. And that's the larger point, because that's where we are getting. And soon enough, and hopefully that will allow us a huge amount of headway and, you know, obviously massive tailwind for us to, you know, get our numbers from.
Understood. And my last question pertains to our inventory at the ground level. So is inventory
Jinesh, you're not clearly audible.
Hello?
Yeah, this is better now.
Yeah, my question pertains to inventory. So what would be the level of inventory at ground level now?
We continue to maintain an inventory of around 4 to 6 weeks. And that's where we are. As we move forward, obviously the inventory will get built up in this quarter for the festive season before the festive retail happens.
So you know, on inventory, I think it's important to understand there's good inventory and there's bad inventory. You know, inventory going up as you get into season is absolutely good. Inventory going up when the season is low is not a great idea. And we are very conscious of that. So, you know, right now we're operating anything oscillating between 4 to 6 weeks, depending upon which zone and the distance from our plants. But as we get into season, we'd like to ramp it up to maximize the benefits from the season. And we do expect a very bumper season this time around.
Which we do every year. So yeah. As you move forward in quarter two, the inventory gets built up.
Absolutely.
Sure, that's understandable. And lastly, if I may, this Bridgetown investing in Ather, what it will mean to our stake now after this happens?
So the Bridgetown investments in Ather, currently the stake cannot be determined because there's a Bridgetown funding. The stake will get determined when the next Series C round funding happens, and then everyone participates. So whatever is the valuation at that point in time, then, of course, the conversion of this current bridge round happens. So the stake increase will get determined only after the next funding round and not now. though it will lead to increase in the stakes.
Understood. Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Goel from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, I just wanted to understand what is the share of 125cc scooter in the overall scooter market first. And second would be, you said that 125cc scooter margin will be higher than your 110cc scooter. At what volumes are we talking about these margins will be similar? Just wanted to get a sense.
So on the, I'll respond to the margin part, and on the 125cc share of the total scooter, that we will respond shortly. As far as the margin part is concerned, as I said, that on 125, you would expect the underlying margins to be higher than the basic segment, which is 110cc scooter. I won't give out a number, but underlying margins on that segment are higher. I have said that for our portfolio, given that our portfolio of scooter itself is 14 to 15% itself, and therefore it doesn't make a meaningful difference to our margin either way. But fundamentally, the margin of 125cc would be higher than the 110cc. On the ratio of 125 segment to the overall, Sanjay can respond, what is 125cc?
Yeah, the current levels that it has gone up to is about 21%. So that's a large volume. You know, it's about 120,000 plus on the 125 on a roughly about 600,000 total base.
Right.
So
what was this number in FY18 and FY17? If we can get that number, if you have it.
The number was, it's in terms of contribution, it's gone up by about 4%.
So around 15-16% would be the earlier number. Now 20%, because the entire growth or most of the growth is coming from 125.
Virtually everything, yeah.
Okay. And sir, my third question is basically on the other expenses. So you said the other expenses will be lumpy in quarters. Just wanted to understand, even if your volumes grow in double digit this year, will other expenses decline on a YOY basis? Are you, how should we build it up? Is it the kind of budgeting you're doing for this year?
So I haven't said it will decline on YOY basis. I've made 2-3 statements on the other expense. Number one, you can't go by a quarter, because the quarter-wise, the expense spend trends are different, the spends are different. Second, I have said that when the volume grows beyond 7-8%, then you start getting the operating leverage, because obviously you won't expect other expenses to grow beyond 7-8% on a year-on-year basis. I mean, that's been the history. If you take out, it takes the inflation plus some other factors or variables. So that is how it will pan out as we expect moving forward.
Okay. Great, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amte from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Couple of questions. One, with regard to the Hero Sure, which you have launched to attack the used bike market, do you see any value proposition post the GST, because you and even the competition has launched a similar process and might be in a 3 or 5 year down the line? How you expect this to contribute to your overall sales proportion?
You're talking about the used two-wheeler business, which I will...
The initiative which you explained in the annual report.
Yeah. So which I just ask Sanjay to...
Yeah, as you know, Sure is not something new. Of course, trade-in business in this country has been a pretty... In fact, there are some very established players, as you would know, across... And we also started Sure a long time back, almost about a decade and a half back. But, you know, there were headwinds in terms of the overall taxation regime, etc., which prevented us from going all out. But with the GST in place now, the environment is very conducive. And we've already started with about 100 outlets of Sure. We do see that as an opportunity, because a lot of our consumers, our own customers, want to upgrade. They want to exchange. They want a fair deal. And not just our own customers who want to upgrade to newer models, but also people out there in the market who want to buy from sources that are genuine and also have the flexibility of getting those bikes reconditioned in some form. So we do see a lot of upside there. It's already started off in Tamil Nadu, for instance, is one state we're doing extremely well. We've got very good response from Tamil Nadu and Gujarat. These are the two states where we focus ourselves on. And both states, the numbers are looking quite decent, and it's quite encouraging actually. And we hope to open up soon in other markets. The pilots are right now currently going on, and the response is, like I said, exceptional.
And second, with regard to the exports, the Africa as a market is seems to be coming back in a big way, and you did your mid-course correction on your export strategy, where initially you targeted Africa, which went down, and now it seems to be coming back in a big way. So in that context, you were compared to your low base and what your competition is doing, your target of 20% looks to be very sober. So are you planning to go aggressively into that market or to do product launches there to take a big leap into those markets as exports, or you want to do a more medium-term strategy of having your manufacturing bases in many places?
No, so it won't be manufacturing bases in many places, so that won't be the strategy. Manufacturing is only where we see or where there's a scale which can support the manufacturing base. And as we achieve that scale, surely we'll set up the manufacturing base. As far as focus on Africa is there, it's right up there on our radar. Our growth targets or ambitions that we would have said may look sober. We have said double digit. We have not said 20%, and double digit could mean anyway on a lighter note from 10 to 99. But having said that, we are going to build the market, build the scale. In the Africa market, there are certain markets where you require certain specific products, like Nigeria is a more a taxi market which requires a certain kind of product. And those variants also we are developing in parallel. And they'll also be getting launched soon in those markets. So we are seized of the specific product requirements of the Africa market, and work is happening on that. It's just that we didn't highlight that in the call because we are building each of these markets up, and each market has a different need which we are addressing.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vasudev Banerjee from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. Most of questions have been answered. One is, as you were mentioning, the pricing differential has been maintained and you have gained market share in the entry segment. And secondly, price cut-led strategy is not sustainable in terms of demand elasticity beyond a point.
Yes.
But if the differential widens, will you continue to maintain the differential, or you will let the differential widen and assume market share to be retained?
So far we haven't, with such a big differential, we haven't seen a dent in the market share. Our strategy stays consistent, which is actually brand building and not brand discounting. And we would rather feature up and price up. And actually that pays more from the customer point of view in terms of market share and winning customer, rather than feature down and price down. So we have seen even with wider differentials, forget our products. You know the products in the other products in the market as well, where there would be a leader and there are price differentials. And on price differentials alone, people can't, we don't see this market and this segment actually reacting to and giving it.
Sure, sir. That's a very relevant answer. Second thing, one word we have been missing for long in this call is LEAP program. So has the benefit of LEAP program peaked out, or still we are seeing some incremental benefits or scope left as other expenses were also on the lower side this time?
We still do see some benefits, although I wouldn't say to the extent of the benefits that we reaped earlier. And therefore, around 50-60 basis point was the benefit that we were seeing earlier. Probably it's more around 30-40 basis point now as we see. But we do see moving forward a lot of leverage available to us in the fixed cost area. And gradually you will probably see that coming through.
And last one small question. As you rightly said that the 125cc scooter segment is growing at a much faster pace, which is some 20-25% of market. If one sees not even on a year-on-year basis, but on a 6 months average basis, that is this current 6 months compared to the preceding 6 months, overall scooter market has been flat. And if one adjusts for this superlative growth of 125cc scooters, it implies 110cc scooters are in a decline mode even compared to second half of fiscal 18. So any explanation on that, sir?
Yeah, so it's a good news that the customers want to upgrade. And that goes back to also your previous question. that customer actually don't downgrade to the lower price thing, but actually they want to upgrade, they wish to upgrade, is for us and the industry to offer them the right product. So it's good news for everyone that people upgrade to 125cc. It is a scooter segment. Whether it grows from 110 or if it grows from 125 more than 110, everyone will be in a happy place. And especially us, as we are going to launch also the 125cc scooter that we have spoken about.
Sure, sir. That's nice for me, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, this is Josh here. So, just a couple of questions actually. So, just want to ask that when you think about your 125cc scooters and the Exceed, for those products, how are you all planning to sort of differentiate in the segments, and how will the dealerships attract that sort of target customer who wants to buy premium bikes and higher power scooters?
Yeah.
That's my first question.
So would you like to ask your second question as well, or, you know?
Sure. My second question is, what percent of your sales are today bought on exchange, and the bikes which you all sort of come in, how many of those are your bikes versus, you know, or Hero bikes versus competitor bikes, if you all have that stat?
All right. So I'll answer this question sequentially. The answer to the first part of your question, which is how does the 125cc stay differentiated from the 100cc, 110cc that we're currently offering to customers, I think I'll go back to the core that Hero philosophy is all about, which is about, you know, bringing in adequate and more for a customer to evolve, you know, and I think we have laid that out as a part of our core philosophy that we need to ensure that our own customers, when they want to kind of upgrade and move on, and we must help the process of evolution. A case in point is the 125cc in bikes, where it became a major enabler for our own 100cc customers before we started looking at competition to help them evolve to the next category. So I think the process is, as is very apparent now from the way industry has been moving, it's very obvious that customers in the 110cc are looking at better feature pack, are perhaps a little bored with the power that they're getting or the performance that they're seeking from the current 110cc category. And therefore, we are, if anything, providing them an outlet to move and upgrade to the next level. So to that extent, the differentiation is absolutely clear and very distinct. And we see no reason why that should not be enough and more for the customers to move towards. And as the industry is supporting it currently, it seems like a trend. And our own lineup was perfectly timed to, you know, kind of take the full benefit and ensure that we are able to provide that latitude in that particular evolution for our own customers. So that's as far as the first point is concerned. I think the second question really was, what percentage of our current retails is also being exchanged? It's about, the number is roughly about 9.5 to 10%. And it kind of keeps oscillating across months. In Dina months, because that's a lot of ground level, impact level activation idea. So in the Lina months, the numbers could probably go to about 10-11%. And in the months when cash sales are far more rampant, high season months, these numbers could be slightly lower. But the number roughly is about 10%.
Okay, just a sort of, you know, follow up on the first question. Do you expect any sort of cannibalization between your current scooter portfolio and the new 125s?
Cannibalization, you know, as a term might sound very cannibalistic, but, you know, frankly, that's part of the game. I guess to an extent, some amount of rub off, some amount of, on the contrary, the other thing is also very, you know, equally important and relevant. We do expect that the moment you get new energy into the showroom, it will have a significant positive rub off on the current range. So, you know, I think, so we are very distinctly, you know, trying to position this in a very sharp, distinct manner, which will ensure that the cannibalization impact is the least. But that is a reality that, you know, across categories we've seen, it does happen, it does have a role to play. But if your positioning is very sharp, is very precise, you clearly minimalize that, and the fact that you may also be able to get the rub-off benefit on the existing range will more than compensate for any, you know, internal movement of brand.
If I just to build on Sanjay's point, given that we are at 13-14% market share, for us, it's more likely to be incremental and more positive impact than if we were at 40-50% market share, in which case the cannibalization would have been significant.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for coming on the call, and thank you for your enthusiastic questions. I think we have quite a lot of questions that you still wanted to ask. Our phone lines are open. We'll take your questions one-on-one right after this. Thank you, Raghu. Thank you, MK. We'll connect again in person. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.